On Tamach Hei in Perek Yud Beis, he's going to deal with a very important subject. In Shira, in Rina, we speak about two different destroyers. There's Shira v'Zimra, Mizmor Shir l'Yom HaShabbos, Mizmor Shir l'Yom HaShabbos. There's Mizmor and there's Shira. So he's going to explain, yeah, what the Chiluk is. And Zimor Od Mor Od, I think we did a little bit of it in Shabbos Malchosa as well. I don't know, the subject's Mokali. I think we spoke about it a little bit there as well. The difference between when he spoke about Mizmor Shir l'Yom HaShabbos, he spoke about the Chiluk by Mizmor l'Shir. So he starts off like this. He says, "B'shira l'kodesh baruch hu yishnei ofanim." There's two types of shira l'kodesh baruch hu: shira v'zimra v'tzelech l'abeach chiluk b'nayim. You have to understand what the difference between these two things are. If something's called shira and something's called zimra, then it's they're two different things. As inyan hashira hu levate shebachay kodesh baruch hu shvachay. Sorry, levate shvachay l'kodesh baruch hu le'nei sipur dvarim. Shira is where you express the praise of Hashem via Sipur Dvarim, explaining things, talking about things, telling a story. The Dugma, Shira Sayam v'Shiras Dvarim, v'chana, Shira Sayam, maze Shira Zot, we would tell the story about Kriyas Yamsuf, Shiras Dvoira, we tell the story about the Milchoma. Oh, just Eli's connecting, give him a minute. Okay, so Eli, just we just started. We're discussing the difference between Shira and Zimra. I think we might have done it once before, a lot of the Mukali. But anyway, in the world of Rina, in the world of Shevach and singing to Hashem, there's Shira v'Zimra, and we're going to try and understand the difference. Shira, we just said as you walked in, is that Shira is praise of a Kodesh Baruch Hu via story. Shira Sayam is a Shira, and it tells the story about Kriyas Yamsuf. Shira Devoira tells the story of the Milchoma with the Yeshua. That's Shira. In Inyan HaZimra, who had nigan the Chochmas HaMutzika, HaLevim Bekim Bo. Zmira, Zimra is the nigun, the music. And the wisdom of music that the Levim were experts in, not this Levi. There were other Levim who knew a little bit more about music than me. Well, it could be, yeah, okay. There's a deep, deep wisdom, very deep wisdom in the wisdom of song. Or Amiris Halel She'enu Mefaret Hanitzim Shaleim Oymer Halel Achshav. The Halel that we say isn't describing in detail the miracles that we're singing about now. And it's Tzaka Klalis Shel Halel V'Hoidel Hashem. It's a general Klali shouting Halel and praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rinel Taiti Shema Shenechlechu Chazal Im Ike Shir Bepeh or Ikashira Bekli. There's a machlekas chazal, what the Ikashir is. Is it Bepe or Bekli? Is it the singing we do or the nigunum we play on the Kalim? Hainim Ikashira Haim Hamilim, so Psuka Toira, the Tehillim. Is the Ikashira the words of the Toira, of the Tehillim, that the Shayyim Levim Bashir is based on Migdash, that the Levim sang when they were in the base of Migdash? Or the Ikashiru a nigun Shayyim Basis, the Yoifiv. The Levim also played music while they were singing Halel with Kalim, with musical instruments. So what is the Ikashir there? Nigun is what happens when a person comes to express the emotional feelings he has of praise and simcha. He's so overwhelmed with simcha, with hoidah, that he can't even put it into words. His emotions sort of spill over. As me peretz nigun, v'shahu bli milim. That's when nigun kicks in, where you sing without words. That's what a nigun is. It's a tune. You sing it without words. You add words to it, that we'll see what's going to be. But that's the beginning of understanding what shir is. There's such an emotional arousal of hoidah v'simcha that you can't even put it into words. So you burst forth in song, but without words. That's what he says. Very often find Shira before Zimra. Shir Mizmo Livnei Koirach. Shir Mizmo. Shabbos, you say Mizmo Shir. But sometimes you find Shira before Zimra. Upamim Mizmo Shir. Upamim Matil B'Shira. Loime Es Hargashai Liboy Behodor Hashem. You start with Shira, so you're expressing the emotional feelings that you're feeling of Hador towards Hashem. When a person starts singing the Hoidah, the praise, using Shira to Hashem, the emotions get stronger and stronger. He's so busy telling the story of what happened. Remember, Shira is the story. So you start off saying Shira Sayam, you're expressing the story, and you get so emotionally aroused with the Hoidah and the expression of thanks and a Kodesh Baruch and Simchat Kodesh Baruch Hu, that you can't even express it in words anymore, and you burst forth in song. That's Zimra. It starts with the Shira, starts with telling the story. But it becomes so overwhelming that it bursts into song. So that's Shir Mizmo. Starts with the Shir, the story, and ends with the Nigun. Sometimes that's the other way. Person has an emotional arousal. He has something happens. Something happens suddenly. Whatever, he gets news. He has something. Boom. Whatever he heard. It's a silly example, but he heard he won $50 million. As he put, he doesn't know what to do. He just heard he became a great grandfather for the first time. Instead of phoning and telling stories and then you burst into song, you're overwhelmed with emotions as you hear the story. He can't start telling you why are you so happy. Well, I had a grandchild, and you know what happened? They couldn't have children for so long. And you're too overwhelmed with emotions to tell the story, so you just burst forth in song. Then slowly you calm down and you're able to describe and explain what you're feeling and what happened and why, what, whatever. Then you can start telling the story. I guess if we use the example of Kriyas Hayam, the person who saw Kriyas Yamsuf would have been overwhelmed with emotion. He might have started singing before he started telling the story. On the other hand, I don't know, I'm just using that as an example. So there you have the two in Yonim. The Shira, where a person is able to describe what he's feeling. And the Zimra, where he can't. He's just too emotionally overwhelmed and he just bursts forth in song. But he then be able to explain what all this is about. Like, what are you on about? And he can't talk. Slowly, he'll calm down. He'll tell you what the story is. Mizmor Shir. Shir, Mizmor, is where you're telling the story, and telling the story becomes so overwhelmed, you just burst into song. That's clear, yeah? Okay. Now we have to remember what that was about. Right in the beginning, we had, I want to see which ones they were. Two before Rina, we had Shoah v'tzaka. So I just want to go back and see. Shor, we said, is Tzaka, shall the koshes rachim and vagesh ma koshes boch b'chazaka, al teres v'chisreinov. It's a request for rachamim where the thing you're requesting from is very bitter, very, very big, massive. You don't just ask. It's like we called hysteria. We use the Hebrew word hysteria to describe that. That was Shor. So what was Tzaka then? Tzaki kshalev saw no oitzmus noiris bakasha. Sheini yoichel etzim milim. Oh, there we go. Shor is where you're screaming. You have a major serious problem and you're shouting and screaming, hysterical, like a woman that sees a cockroach in the kitchen and she's making a noise. She's screaming. She's shouting. Tzaka is where the problem's so big that you can't even You can't even get a voice out there. Like a groan. Tzaka is more like a groan. It's an unarticulated cry. Shoah is an articulated cry. Tzaka is the unarticulated cry. Okay, so if we realize we have to do chazor. if that clear, then Veneru Shishnein Yonim Elu, Shia Mizmo is connected the two pillars of Shoah v'Tzaka. Shoah Hibakash b'chazok me'oimakalev b'itheria. Shoah is the request, the strong, strong bursting out of your mind, out of your lave with hysteria. He can still articulate what he wants to ask for. He's screaming, he's hysterical, but he still can explain what he wants. But Tzaka is where the pain is so strong. You can't even articulate it. It's just that unarticulated, like the Shefa, that unarticulated cry. That's what the Shefa at one level represents, the unarticulated scream of a Jew. It's a scream. Well, what do you want? Explain to you what you want. There's no words. It's a scream, a groan, a moan, whatever you want to translate it as. That's the same with Simcha and Eido. Shira doimi l'shoah. Shira is similar to on the Simcha side. The Shoah is coming from the side of pain. Shira is coming from the side of Simcha. With the clear Simcha again, Shishala Kodesh Baruch Vafat Chesodot, the race of Yisbarach. You're explaining why you were Simcha. You're explaining the praise of Hashem. You're describing, explaining what it is that you're praising Him for. Shira say, yeah, perfect dogma. Zimra, he can get a tzaka. Zimra is against the tzaka. The kolkach midragesh at any yoichel afaretz chosar fredrik sheliboy. He's bursting forth with song. You ask him what happened. He's trying to tell you about the story of Kriyas Yamsuf, but he can't because he's just too emotionally overwhelmed. And it's like for of halel v'hoida or mahalel al yaday nigun. He's just singing. He doesn't know what he's singing. There's no words. It's that nigun without words. So that's keneged tzaka. Mitzada ka'ev, on the side of pain, you have Shoah v'tzaka. Shoah is the articulation. Tzaka is the unarticulated cry. And on the side of Simcha, you have Shira, which is the expression, the describing, the detailing what you're singing about. And Zimra is the unarticulated. There's just too much emotion. I can't explain to you what's going on. He's just singing. So that's the pattern. Fascinating. Almost fascinating. We know your day, Shoah is Satoira. There's been shlisha chalokim. There's something that fascinates me, and I've always wanted to study this more deeply. I just never got around to it. There's three parts to the letters in the Torah. The letters themselves, parshut, imatagim, the letters with the little crowns, hanukudot, the vowelization, vatamim, and then what we call the trop. So the letters and the vowels we're very familiar with. And even if you know the trop, cassette, but we don't know the meaning of the trop. The trop's also telling a story. The trop also tells a story. The words of the Torah are the revelation of the words of Torah in front of us, revealed openly. The chius, they're the life force of the words, of the letters. Without the nukudot, the letters don't really get to express themselves and explain what they mean. You need the nukudot to bring the letters to life so that they can express themselves with meaning. The tamim, that's where you have the hidden and the hidden reasons of the Torah. We call them tamim. We call these what we call the trop, the tune, let's call it that. It's called the tam. Now, there are lots of different meanings of the word tam. Obeloshen siba ubiur. Time can be the reason for something, the explanation of something. What's the reason? Why did you do this? My time shall see it. Time means a reason, a cause. Or Milosha Nigun. It can also be Losha Nigun, the tune, like we use it for the Kriyas HaTorah. Or Milosha Ma Shehachaych Toim HaMachal. What you taste in your mouth when you eat. Ha'ochol Tam Del Ba'azim O'Taim. The taste means taste of food. Interesting. The word that we use for the tamim of the Torah is the word for reason, the cause. It's the word of nigun, and it's the word of taste, of food. They all come together in one nest. A person sees a nice, tasty piece of cake. When you see the cake, you don't really know what's lurking inside that cake. You see a cake, well, you still haven't chapped what the inner aspect of this cake is. When you taste it, the taste reveals to you what's going on here. This is a cake for diabetics. There's no sugar. No, there's lots of sugar. There's too much sugar. A lot of flour. There's cocoa. There's cream. There's just by tasting it, you get a sense of what's going on inside the cake. The taste reveals the inner aspect of the dover. That's pretty poshut in the moshul. Kain tame atoira. That's the same as the tame atoira. Munach behem ikka soida satoira. The ikka secrets of the Torah lurk in the tame. The gam lasogoseino kunti al levels moirim atamim heicham lahafsik vaheichel ladgish esamilim shebepsukim. The timing of the punctuation as well. I tell you where to stop, where to emphasize, where you put the emphasis of the words. It gives us the basic structure of how to read. Without the timing, you wouldn't know where to stop. It would be like learning Gemara. That's the punctuation. It's not just telling what the word means. It's telling what the whole story is about and what you have to concentrate on when you're saying the words. It gives the words meaning. These are just loose words bundled together. The tamim, give it structure, give it meaning. Very powerful sentence, this. The tamim is the Indian of nigun, because the nigun is the emotional feeling, the deep emotional feeling that a person feels when he touches the innerness of a sugya, when you touch the depth of a subject. You know, when you're learning a subject, you're learning shtikul chumash with Rashi, and you're working it through, and you're battling and struggling with the Ramban, and suddenly, boom, you understand. On our level, mazia pinimis shel sugya, the unbelievably simchadik. You understood what Tosis really was driving at. That's why we sing when we learn. Because when a person sings, why is he singing? Because he's touching the primiest of the subject. People find nigunim. They find their own nigunim when they're learning Gemara. Because any Torah. Because it's touching the primiest of the sugya. And that bursts forth into song. All very well, we understand it goes from the light to the heavy. You start with shira, you start telling the story, you start understanding the thing, and then more you go, deeper and deeper, you go into the pnimius. And then you burst forth in that awesome emotion of zimra. We understand how that works. You're going from shira to zimra. That makes sense. What are you telling me here? You first have mizmo shir, echzovet, first zimra, and then shir. How does it work? Malin b'kodesh vein moridim. We go up in kodesh. We go from shira to zimra. We understand that elevation, but we don't understand the coming down from zimra to shira. Echzovet, malin b'kodesh. For sure, there's definitely a big mile in Mizmor. comes from a deep arousal, a deep wonderment, emotional overflow. There's also a potential danger here. There's a chisaron, there's a potential danger here. Because it's such an emotional, otherworldly experience, I'm not able to translate it into something down here, lemaisa. Nothing changes. It's a bit like Elul. You'll be on the show for the first day of Elul, and you get very aroused and very excited and very and then after whatever, nothing sticks. It doesn't get translated into Maisa. The marshal I heard from him is you have a guy, he used to have a Yerid. In the old days, people lived in villages, and then once a year they used to come to the big city. Yerid was a big market, was a big fair. And people used to come and buy goods and whatever. It was very exciting, very hyped up, whatever, like the fairs, the big fairs, whatever. So you have two people go to the fair. The one guy, clear, he knows what he sells in his store. He knows what he's coming to buy. He knows what he wants. He goes there, he buys, he does good deals. He sells his products, whatever. At the end of the fair, he's got a truckload of stuff to take home with him. He had a good time as well. Well, he knows what a fair is. You go there to buy straight up. There's another guy came there. And he had the best time in his life. He got so excited. He saw things he'd never seen before. And he ate good food. And he went and he looked and he saw the products that he ate. And with Laev, he was mamash excited. He was like a kid in a toy store or whatever. And then he went home. He asked him, what did you buy? He didn't buy anything. He just got excited, got aroused, got very, very emotional, had an unbelievable time. It was worth every penny. But he comes home empty-handed. So that looks a bit like us on Elul Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. We get very aroused, very excited. We have a wild, unbelievable spiritual experience. And that's where it stays. It never, ever gets translated into anything. What did you buy? The Yerid, Markanita. What did you come away with? Is there something from last Rosh Hashanah that you took on that you're still holding by whatever? Markanita Mashu. So that's something we're aware of, and we know that that's a problem. And the youngsters struggle with this. We're a bit older. We already know how to solve that problem, Baruch Hashem. We'll talk about that next week a little bit. But that's what we're talking about. So that's the problem with Mizmor. Mizmor is this unbelievable. Wow, this arousal. This. Whoa. But did you buy something from it? Mamani Shami is there. It just frazzles away eventually. There's a momentary emotional arousal and it's gone. And we know that feeling. The lawyer fair, the local kach nice. Only time that the mizmor can take effect, can have a real lasting value, is if after the mizmor comes the shira. She's boin b'dvarim. V'itagim asum lemilim. You have to be able to take what happened and try on thinking about it, meditate on it, and try on putting it into words. As our sogani tfesis yoise b'pratim. Then you start grasping hold of the pratim. You start understanding what happened. It starts getting internalized. V'yeda lahafuchato la'alocha lamaisa v'yisha b'yoda kinyan b'zimra v'shira elu. And then you have a kinyan. Then you've acquired something here. Then you have the mizmor and the shira. That's when they work together. It's beautiful. You have this arousal. When the shira comes first, it's a bit easier to deal with because you first understand the story. You know what's going on. And from that, you become very aroused. So the danger of the mizmor is not there anymore because it started with the shira. It started with a lamaisa. But when it starts with just this boom arousal of emotional outpouring, it's going to get lost. The only way you can bring it home is to be magdir it, put it into place, think about it, analyze it, internalize it, and take something lamaisa away from it. That's mamash practical eitzah, unbelievable practical eitzah. Mamash matim le'erev Rosh Hashanah as well. Erev Rosh Hashanah is awesome. Some unbelievable days, unbelievable kevus elokim or whatever, and then it's wow. How's Rosh Hashanah? Phew, what are you talking about? Unbelievable! Wow, say mamash, you don't understand. And then 2 weeks later, you ask him, "Nu manisha klum goldisht," because you went to the Yerid and you didn't buy anything. That's mizmor. That's the danger of mizmor. Mizmor shele yom haShabbos. It's got to be a mizmor. Total blown away by the experience of Shabbos. Totally unbelievable. You can't even describe Shabbos to anybody. Ask somebody what Shabbos is, you can't tell him. But if that's all it is, so then it's just a high once a week, but nothing sticks. There's nothing goes away. The snow doesn't stick. It snowed. It was beautiful, but there's nothing left. So that's the deep message here of Mizmor, Shir Mizmor. Okay, there's more to say here. Okay, we're almost at the end. Mezat Hashem, next week, before you go into Yom Kippur, we'll finish Bezrat Hashem Rina, and then we'll start the year, see what that's all about. In the meantime, what can I say? Maxim Toiva, good kebench to your la alta lachem, toivim ulasholim, lakulam.
Amen, amen. Toda rabba. Gam, shana tova. Toda rabba.
A lot to be smach about, a lot to celebrate. Baruch Hashem, a lot of chesed. Somebody asked me yesterday, we were talking about believing in your tefillahs, believing that you ask for something, Hashem will give it to you. And I was talking about that, whatever. So one person said to me, he said, the problem I have with that, he was being very sincere, is I don't really believe I deserve what I'm asking for. So I said to him, I agree. Let me ask you something. Go back over the last year and see what Hashem gave you. Do you think you deserved any of that? This you don't deserve. That means everything else you do deserve. That's bordering not because of that. You deserve what Hashem gave you. We're not asking Hashem to give us what we deserve. We don't deserve anything. We know we don't deserve anything. It's not based on deserve. It's based on you, Hashem, are infinitely merciful. That's what I'm relying on. I deserve. But I've been walking around his whole life too scared to ask for things because he doesn't think he deserves them. So hopefully this Rosh Hashanah, he'll have it a bit easier because he knows he doesn't deserve it and he's asking Hashem because Abba, no, I don't deserve this, but come on, you're my father. Give me another ice cream. Come on, because you love me and you care for me. And that's deserve it. Come to Hashem and say, listen, I did this, so you owe me this. I did this. Can't pay Hashem back for anything anyway. So a good gesund to you. Bezrat Hashem, we'll see you next week.
Amen, amen. Okay,
so I got an Arab Shabbos also.
Amen, amen. Okay.